Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. I am thrilled to have on the phone with us right now Pastor Paris Pash. She is the pastor of the Journey Church in Hastings, and we could not be more excited to chat with you. How is it going?
Hi, Mo. It's great to be with you this morning. Actually, right now in my office, everything is just fine.
I like that. I agree with you. I think things are good sometimes when we are by ourselves and we can control what's around us, but certainly we can't control what's going on with the world. So what's new? How has the COVID-19 pandemic impacted you and your church?
Well, of course, like many other churches, we were shut down from meeting together for quite some length of time. That caused us to follow a great model, which was create a higher value in the video experience. So online church, people would go to our website, they could find our messages, which we had been doing for years, but it raised the stakes of the importance of that for folks. And so we've enjoyed that and are continuing to enjoy that.
Is that something that you think will forever change the way we look at church?
I think it will open up another gateway to investigating a church, to testing out to see if this is the church you want to attend. I actually had someone who has shown up in recent weeks who said that they had watched our services online for a month before they first visited.
That has to make you feel really good.
Yeah, very good. And it also raised, again, the value of having that new access point. Again, we've had it for many, many years, but the public or the potential visiting public has not necessarily been tapped into that. We use it more for our members. So if they miss a service, they don't miss a piece of the puzzle.
You know, I think that is really a great way of looking at that. And we'll give your address, of course, again, but would you be so kind as to tell us where we can find all this good information?
Yes, we are at www.thejourneyhastings.church.
And that is where we can listen online. And what are some of the challenges as a pastor to really connect with people online versus in person?
Well, I think there's a number of challenges on both sides of the screen. For myself as a pastor, it's really hard to stare into the lens of a camera and sense the presence of your congregation. That's a pretty big emotional and spiritual hurdle to get over. I find that it's possible to do it, but it really requires a focused approach to it. The other thing is that our worship experience, what is the word we use to call our music experience requires us to really do a great job on video, basically on our website, that does more than just plays good music. It's really got to be captivating, because when you're sitting in your living room and you're the only one singing, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I, we sit through our video services quite regularly, especially when I'm not the person preaching, because we want to know what the congregation is experiencing. Now, from the other side of the screen, the people that are watching the online service, it requires them to make an extraordinary effort to hook up to the internet. Are they going to watch it on their phone? That's not very dynamic. For my wife and I, we load it onto our iPad, and then we project it onto our big screen TV. So we have the best experience in that, but not everybody does. But for senior folks, you're asking them to reinvent a wheel, mm-hmm. and that's very hard. Also got weekly email blasts that we send out. We also mail out my scripted notes to somebody who doesn't have internet or doesn't have that capacity. So we try to make a number of areas. Now, what that does, it increases the workload for our little staff, but it really challenges us to also do a good job at everything that we do.
Tell us about the Journey Church, please.
Well, the Journey is a relatively new ministry, just over 2 years old. It's my third church plant participation in Hastings, which is exciting for me. I like to build. I was trained as an engineer, so I like to start from scratch. And so here we are starting a young work. We meet at the Hastings Art Center. We're using a little different model, not a better model, but a different model, which says that we will rent our Sunday morning large room gathering space, and we will own a small office midweek base camp, if you will. And we have all age groups present. We have really good music. Because we're in the art center, it's set up for theater and concerts. It couldn't be better for us to be able to have that as a ministry environment.
Oh, absolutely. Acoustically, it is just such a great space.
Yeah, it's really good.
So lovely.
And we have stained glass windows. We've got a church steeple. We're running with the big dogs now.
We love that. So are you having your services in person?
Well, on July 5th, we had our first in-person service since the COVID pandemic issue arose. And we've had a kind of small start, but it's a good start. It was really what we anticipated. We're supposed to, we have a long list of CDC guidelines to comply with, and we're working very hard to create the healthiest, safest environment that we can. I still remind people that the moment you step out your door, you have to accept the responsibility of guarding your own safety. But we are functioning well since July 5th and doing good. We have about half of our typical membership that attends in person now and about half who observe us online.
And if people want to come and attend in person, what time is this, please?
We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings at the Hastings Arts Center. Because we comply with CDC guidelines, we have sanitizing stations when you walk in. We have a minimal touch environment. We have social distanced seating in the room. So when you walk in and you see two chairs that are coupled together, that means a couple could sit there. When you see a single chair, that means an individual can sit there. We have a family of eight, so we set up eight chairs that they all can sit together, but they're distanced from other family members, from other families, excuse me. And we now, because of the new mask requirement, we wear masks during the service. Previous to that, some of our folks wore masks during the service, and we withheld singing, but now we wear masks and as a general rule.
And you mentioned singing. What about singing, please? Because I heard that is one of the ways that we really spread germs, I guess.
Yes. Well, again, because now we weren't singing when we didn't have masks on, we're not as constrained with masks on. Now, we don't encourage people to pull their mask down so they can sing and breathe harder. We wear our masks and follow that requirement. I will say that I meet regularly with other leaders to talk about this topic of the church's response to government requirements. And we feel it's important to follow leadership. We feel it's important to set a good example for citizens. And so we're doing our level best to try to do that. At the same time, we also believe we have a higher assignment, which is to worship God by assembly, by learning from His Word. And we taught our folks that you could worship and your lips didn't have to move. God looks at the thoughts of your mind and the intentions of your heart.
Do you find that the people that are coming are so happy, though, to be together in worship? Because isn't that part of the experience, is being with people?
Most definitely. Now, Mo, I would also say that we labor quite hard not to put that up against those who are choosing to stay home for their own personal convictions, their own personal safety, and their own personal health. We try not to raise the value of that gathering so high that those folks feel like they're getting second best by being home. But I, like you, I would agree that connecting, that gathering, is a very wonderful and important part of being a Christ follower, of being a church member.
So how have you been able to still connect with people before you got together in July? What were some of the things that, the ways that you were able to reach out to people to keep them still engaged?
Well, we used Zoom, like many, and other forms of that, like many people have. I think we've exhausted our capacity in that regard. You know, I'm on a Zoom meeting quite regularly, either with our members or with other church leaders or with senators or whatever it might be. But Zoom was a way that we were doing our small group Bible studies. I would also communicate, like I said a little bit earlier, through email blasts to everybody in our church, attenders and members, kind of an update. I also have used a mailing approach, because we have some folks that are, they're just of a generation where they don't even own a computer. I typically script my messages, so I'm able to create a written document that they can go through and stay up to speed, in step with what we're doing, and hopefully feel less left out. But that's still not easy, because they're not only not coming to church, they're also not meeting with friends and often family members.
When you talk to some of your other pastor friends that are involved in the ministerial association, do you find that many of the struggles that each of you have in your churches are the same?
Very much so. Some of my colleagues have still chosen not to have in-person meetings. I really respect them for that. They've weighed out all of the issues and come to a conclusion that they feel best suits the character and personality of their congregation, just as I did. That's what caused us to wait until July 5th to have our first in-person meeting. And it is a very challenging decision, as I understand our government leaders are going through also. When they make a request or a requirement, I know it's not flippant. I know they've done their homework, but I think we would both agree that the information that we receive via media or whatever resource we go to is vague. It's sometimes contradictory or confusing. So it makes it very hard as a leader to feel like I'm doing the absolute best. I think what we would say is we're doing the best we can.
So where do you take your direction from besides God?
First and foremost, it is my time in prayer. But I also read every CDC document, and they are exhaustive, but I read every one. I listen to doctors who I consider to be reputable, who are recognized not only by the church community, but also recognized by our citizenry. I have the great privilege of having relationships with quite a number of other pastors who are in the same circumstance that I am. So I have this vast amount of counsel, but at the end of the day, as a leader, whether you're governor, president, or pastor, as a leader, I have to boil it down and say, with all this before me, this is the path we're going to take, and pray that it will be correct. But God is first and foremost, and that's really been no more evident than in these pandemic days.
So any last words for people?
Well, I would say that for folks that are listening, if you have poo-pooed the online experience, give it another shot. I think what you'll find is that churches that made a minimal effort before are making a major effort now. Also, you can investigate in those sites whether churches are doing in-person services and to what degree they are protecting the people that attend. I have found that our folks are at peace and at rest with the direction that we're in right now.
We love that. Pastor Paris Pash, The Journey Church meets on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. at the Hastings Art Center, or visit them online at thejourneyhastings.church. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.